When the Lord gave me the theme, or gave us the theme for this year, Jesus is enough. In other words, nothing more, nothing less. It sounded like such a cute, even fuzzy, or even warm theme, which it can rightfully also be. But sometimes when you get pruned, when you get crushed in the crusher, or when you go through the mill of life, where you go through the olive press, and you realize that you only actually have one hope. You've got not much. You don't have in yourself much to add. This theme hits my heart quite hard in this season. Don't know where you are, but I've just realized in this season that it is only Christ that is enough. He is truly Alpha, Omega in the Lord. He's only the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is it. He is it. It's not much more. There's no person, no thing, no amount, no status, no ego, no acclamation of man, no achievement in life, no hub, no clique that can remotely or even closely come to the fulfillment there is in him. And it is quite a journey to get there. Sorry, it's a bit of a dramatic intro there. Apologies, I'll get out of it. But it's not as easy to get to that reality or that realization that it's only Christ that is enough. Sometimes you need to get to the end of your rope or the end of yourself. Who's ever gotten to the end of themselves? What did you find there? Hope. I mean, on my way there, I found a bunch of rubbish, to be honest. But once you get to the end of yourself, and you surrender all, and you lay flat there on your face, you find hope, find Christ, and the realization that it is Him and Him alone. And it's funny enough, it's something I can't put handles on and just like impart there, and you're like, oh, I've got the revelation, I'll live it. You need to go on your own journey. You need to go through your desert sometimes. You need to go through your pruning and your crushing and your olive press experience yourself. But if we humble ourselves and say, I cannot, but you can, turn our eyes to Christ, the fullness come, peace comes, fulfillment come. And that is my heart for us. Lord, have your way this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate you, celebrate your crucifixion and resurrection, and that at the end of ourselves, at the end of the day, only hope in Christ remains. Thank you that we can be a people of hope, Lord. In spite of pressures, in spite of life, in spite of seasons, thank you that we can celebrate the goodness of God and the fact that we've got an eternal hope. Thank you that by your Spirit, eternal hope arise today in this place. And again, it will not stay with us. It will be imparted in all of the spirits of the people that we journey with in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we went on with the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're just sidestepping and skipping that a bit, but still part of our series on Jesus is enough. We're going to look at, obviously, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Certain Mr. Hall said the following. He said, Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. Truth is a person. Truth is a person. And you can try to squash him. You can try to get him and bully him out of your schools, even out of your churches, out of your businesses, out of your country, out of your constitution. You can bully truth out of any place, but you can never bury him. He'll always stand up. Truth will remain. Christ will remain at the end of the day, and that is what we are hoping for. That is what we're trusting for. But even if you sit here and you could have been in Hartenbosch, you could have been in Mosselbaai, you could have been in Klein William, or you could have been in Azerfontein or wherever, you could have chilled, had poiki by now. Maybe it's a bit early for poiki now. Yeah, exactly. You could have done a lot of other things, yet there's a hope of truth, the person that compels us, knowing that he will remain. Even though I thought of it earlier, that the short and the narrow is not, the narrow road is not the easiest to follow, but yet truth remains, and he will stand at the end of the day, and he will accomplish what the Lord set out for him to do. Now, maybe just on a lighter note, I like this time of year, I like the long weekends, save for the fact that everybody's away, but the rest of it I really like. What do you like about Easter? Wat is vir jou lekker van Paasnaweek? Dit kan hot cross buns wees by all means. Please, don't be too spiritual, but what, or you can be spiritual, but what stands out? Just quickly, maybe a fond memory. What stands out about Easter? Hey? Rain. Yeah, that's a nice one. Rain. Rien. Anything else? Family. Yes, family. What stands out for you? Two oceans. I mean. Yes. And it's referring to the race, not the wine, by the way. I know I'm your home. Just to be clear on that. For some of us, it might be two oceans, Milo. I don't know. But anyway, what stands out? Chocolates, yes. The kids would have said that if they had been here. Who does fish? Get a fish. Get a cow. Okay. Hot cross buns, anybody? Yes. Lekker. I don't do them anymore. I need to be gluten-free. Otherwise, anyway, hopefully the bread of life is gluten-free. But they're quite good. Anything else? Maybe a bit more, I want to say substantial. Maybe spiritually, what stands out? Yeah, Annelies? Yes. It's a funny thing. Traditionally, people are drawn. They celebrate it even though they don't do anything the rest of the year. We're not judging, we're just saying this is culture. Yet somehow they stand still. Even if it's bunnies and lots of chocolates and kids bouncing off the walls, at least I think they take a moment to think. Anything, last thing that... Yes, Jan, what stands out for you? Family noise. Noise. I like that. So it brings a warmth in your heart, a family noise. Now, maybe spiritually, what stands out or what have stood out for you this year about Christ? Have your heart remembered what He has done for you this year? Have you taken that moment? Nick, have you? Nick's got a big thing about Friday. Am I right, if I may say so? So for him, that was sacred. And I think he would love us to, in the future, have a service on Friday so we can pray for that. But that stood out for him. I like that family noise, chance up. But yeah, any lasting? New hope. Amen. New hope. Amen. Cool. That's exactly where we're going this morning. So there's lots that can be said on a weekend like this, and I've got lots of things to work with. Christ died for everyone. Our sins have been forgiven. It's the great exchange. The ultimate price was paid. The cross of Christ, that is a major focus point, and we can do so much with it. The grave is empty. He is risen. And. But I want to maybe just quickly use as a basis the following scripture. I said then, it's not a... Oh, we are. It is not... it's not my Afrikaans English. It's meant to be the finished line, past tense. Because I believe that's where we need to live from. All of life we chase for, all of our culture and the flesh we chase to a finished line. I believe as Christians or believers, we are actually called to live from the finished line. The victory has been won. I'm not saying that I get this right. I believe this is just the theology or the truth that we should live from as a new creation in Christ by the Spirit, in love and by faith. It's not always that easy. But we can live from the place of victory, not constantly to a place of victory. In other words, it has been established. Our team has won. We need to just enforce or implement it. As a lawyer, one would have said that I got for my client, I got a court order. I already have the court order in my hand, but it needs to be applied. Either people need to be set out of a residential property, or I need to go claim the money, create skade for a goeding. But the bottom line is you've got the court order. It needs to be enforced. We're not waiting for the court order of heaven. We're not waiting for the court order in the Spirit anymore. We have it. But we need to live it and enforce it. And what the accuser of the brethren, what the enemy does without giving him any credit, he takes you for a ride and sees if you stand upon the court order and the fact that it's been finished. Let's read the scripture. John 19 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So then Jesus had received the sour wine. He said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. In other words, the battle has been won. What did we share so potently? The timing was actually so perfect last week. We said, Jesus came to, he said, "I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but I came to fulfill the law and the prophets." All of righteousness. The culmination of righteousness, doing this stuff right. I came to pay. I came to get the court order. I came to get the victory. And there he says it. Who's ever seen a judge with a hammer? Boom. That's the stroke. That's the moment. Wow. It's beautiful. I can hear it in the spirit. I even give goosebumps. Wow. All of heaven just stands still. What has just happened? The order has been given. But now the deceiver, the liar, constantly, daily, until the end of time, need to beweasel us out of the truth that it is finished. I get beweaseled quite often, forgetting that I'm a new creation, forgetting that my sins have been paid for, forgetting that I have been paid for by the blood of Christ, that I look not to the mirror of righteousness, but I look to Christ for righteousness, for it is finished. Grab hold of that today. Even in loving on and discipling and disciplining our children, I need to get to a place where I realize Christ for them, their righteousness is finished in Christ, not in their deeds and self-righteous acts and slavery in my home. I need to implement that truth over them as well. For me, that's a challenge. And so let's grow in living from the finished line, not to the finished line. Let's grow from a place and live from a place where we remember, wow, you're free to go. In spite of, yes, in spite of Retief, you're free to go. But Retief, you're free to go. Doesn't make sense. You're free to go. I repent. Thank you, Lord. Off you go. And such beauty in that, such hope in that. It is finished, he said. So the Lord, in spite of what's going on in my life, and in spite of some battles, the Lord said to me today, you need to just focus on the hope there is. And it's much more wider. I'm going to touch quickly on seven things. It's much wider than these seven things, but these are the ones that stood out for me. In between nappies, bottles, feeding, kids, watching rugby. Yes, amen. One needs to do what one needs to do. These are the seven things that stood out, which I believe the Lord wants to bring us, because hope was released. There was a trigger. There was a moment where hope, an eternal hope for mankind, has been released. Let's not be bamboozled. Let's not be cheated out of that hope that Christ came to pay for, the freedom for us all. Here's another last quote. The great gift of Easter is hope. Oh, Whopper chocolates. The great gift of Easter is hope, Christian hope, which makes us have that confidence in God. When we look to the cross, when we look to the grave, it spells one thing, confidence in God, not confidence in self. Can often have this reality and then slowly walk back to self-righteousness and having to do everything right. Confidence in God, in His ultimate triumph, and in His goodness and love, which nothing can shake. So our trust is in His character. Our trust is in His peace. Our trust is in His price. Our trust is in His righteousness. Confidence in God. Even through worship, even through the testimonies, even through the things that have been shared this morning, have you grown in confidence in God this morning? Or have you grown in confidence in yourself that you're sitting in church? Have you grown in confidence this morning? Thank you, Villain. I have hope for the crowd. Thank you, Jesus. So let's look at the hope that there is from Calvary. There was a punch. There was a substantial punch in the spirit. There was a release. There was a trigger. There was a moment, a hammer that came down because of Calvary. And a hope was released in the spirit realm for all of mankind, saying the price has been paid, redemption has come, freedom for all mankind. To those who believe and go to church. No, for those that believe. But it's an added bonus if you go to church. Let's look. What's the definition of hope? It's all of those funny things in Hebrew. It's an anticipation. with pleasure, and expectation. Other words, it would be anxiety. It's another type of hope. It's a negative type of hope. We're not talking about that. We're not anxious. If you're not saved, guess what? You've got a different kind of hope for eternity. But our eternal hope is one that is positive, a positive anticipation. Let's look at it. An expectation, abstract or concrete, or confidence, faith and hope. So it's a confidence. Who can this morning say, I've got a confidence in Christ? I'm growing in a confidence in Christ. The more that I have confidence in me, the less I have confidence in Christ. If I go through the wine press or the olive press, if I get pruned by the Lord and I need to face the reality of, oopsie-daisy, pretty broken without the Lord, confidence in the retief dwindles, confidence in Christ rises. Where do we want to be? We want to be in a constant, fully confidence in Christ. Does that mean I can do what I want? No, that does not mean. But my shift, my expectation, my reality is a trust and a faith in Christ and His righteousness, albeit if I'm very fruitful or if I'm going through a bit of a dark season. Eyes on Christ. Eyes on Christ. So there's a confidence and expectation. The definition, just a general Google definition said, a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. A feeling of trust. You want something to happen or to be the case. What are you hoping for? Any hope. What is the hope that you're carrying in your heart? Are you Hope or Lewis? Your baby to turn. Hallelujah. It's very spiritual. Jesus, thank you for the baby to turn. Who was it? Was it John the Baptist that leaped in Elizabeth's womb as Mary walked in with Jesus in her tummy? So we just need to organize that. Thank you, Jesus. May you walk in the room that little one will turn. Anybody, what's the hope that you're carrying? Okay, let me flip that to a negative. Who's ever carried a false hope? I've carried numbers of false hopes. Come on, guys. As you sit here, unknowingly, you're carrying a couple of false hopes. If you're trusting in something that is not the Lord's heart, that will just lead you to emptiness, dryness, and death. That is called a false hope. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, but a promise fulfilled is like a tree of life. In other words, I've got a hope for a certain thing. I think it's godly, or I might not even. It's just ultimately fleshly. I have a hope in it. It doesn't happen. My heart turns sour. It turns sick. It hurts like hell. But yet a promise fulfilled. In other words, that's a hope of God that's fulfilled. It's like a tree of life. It's going to just eat and eat and eat. It gives life. And so we are constantly to battle. What is the hope that I'm carrying? This morning I chatted quickly about finance. I said fear and anxiety on finance. Again, the hope. I'm trusting in hope in a full bank account. Lots of cash. It might just lead me along the road of destruction. Yet if it's in God and it's godly in His heart, then it's totally different. So what is the hope that you're carrying? Quickly, you need to be carrying a hope. Simba, what are you hoping for? Except lunch. Anything else? Because I'm hoping for lunch. I hope Edna with the one arm is busy preparing lunch at home. Go to heaven when you die. That is a good eternal hope. Dawn, that is good. Anything else, somebody, you don't have to answer? The two of us can stick with lunch. Yes, I like that. Hope to fulfill the things that God has set out for you to do. Any other hope? Amen. I love that. That your grandchildren will follow the Lord as they grow older. I hope the Stormers will turn around their season. That's what I hope for. That's what I hope for. Anyway, what other hope do you carry? You don't have to say the ungodly hopes you carry. It's all right. You don't have to be that real now. Any other hope? Your whole family to be saved. Amen. Amen. Any last hope? Family in the Congo to be saved. Amen. I've got a hope. I've got a hope that the Lord will restore the fountains of life, godly life, in the United Kingdom and in Europe. I have a hope that He will open up churches again to be watering wells of true life, not of religion, not of new age, but fires that will set nations ablaze. I've got that hope in my heart. I've got a hope that the prophecies of Cape Town and South Africa of a revival will come to birth. and it will not come at too a costly price for our country beforehand, whatever that means. We've got that hope. We've got a hope to disciple people in fullness. Not that they will get my bent nature, but that they will get the perfect nature of Christ. I've got that hope. I've got a hope to be a good dad. I've got a hope to be a good husband. I've got a hope to be a good son. It's not easy. I don't always do it. What hope do you carry? Oh, that's a biggie. She hopes to give hope to the hopeless. Yes. I would like to be a fighter for those that cannot fight for themselves. I would love to be a voice for those that do not have a voice. That's my hope. What other hope do you have? Come, dig deep. Come on, guys. It's easy. Yes, Amy. Hope of redemption in your family. Amen. Amen. Financial relationships, new hope for your family. I agree. Not born again yet. That's beautiful. Jan, I see your hand. Yes. Yes. Amen. That God will move him in the ways that he should be and be moved. It's good to have hope and to live from the finish line. I believe hope is our inheritance. There's lots of hope, feeble hope out there that's either fleshly and circumstantial, and it's not eternal. It is cultural, and it's just for a time such as this. It's of short, but it's short term, short timing for short periods, but it's not eternal. So we've got a grace not to be in a high and lofty spiritual prideful place, but we've got an eternal hope that we can share with other people. Let's quickly look at the seven things of hope that Calvary has given us and shown us through Christ Jesus. I believe hope is our inheritance. We are the only people with true hope as an inheritance. Firstly, to receive it, to live in it, to live in the fullness of it, that punch, that moment that the grave was empty, what was released there to be still as applicable to our lives, and then to share it. The Lord said to us as a congregation, you're going to be kingsmen redeemers. So you need to share hope. Sometimes I end up in a situation, I'm thinking, Lord, how do I get here? How did I get here? But I need to be a redeemer now. What does it look like to walk in love? What does it look like to be Christ-like? What does it look like to be salt and light in this situation? How can I be a redeemer? How can I restore godly hope in this situation? And that's the beauty of being a son and a daughter of God. First thing is, we've noted that we've got an ever hope, an everlasting hope. I'm going to start off, maybe quickly read the scriptures. Luke 24 says, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but then when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So we know that, we believe it. Imagine in that time, we've learned this through the years, and we've heard this through the years, but imagine in that time, that shocking moment, but yet the release that came from it. So we know this to be the truth. Then John 11, 25 and 26 says the following, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Turn to your neighbor and say, never die. Do you believe this? Chris, never die. Do you believe this? Amen. What a hope. I'm going to share a bit of it. Sensitive story. I haven't asked her permission, but I'm sure she'll be fine with it. My mom was diagnosed with kidney failure in November last year, which means that she needs to go into dialysis for 4 hours, three times a week. She doesn't have a massive income and not much savings. She's not old, but she's not young either. Let me be careful when it comes to age. We've got a couple of 20-year-olds here. I don't want to step on toes. Anyway, and so she got diagnosed. It's quite a shock to the family, and it massive shock to her because she never saw that coming. And it's a massive, has a massive influence on life. She had to make a drastic change in lifestyle. And all of a sudden, where she's an independent woman, and she works long hours, she works hard and long hours. Now she needs to go 3 times a week, drive far, to go sit for 4 hours so that they can clean her blood for the rest of her life. So for her, it was a massive life sentence. And she's like, why, Lord? How is it possible? And old Anas comes out. And as we were on holiday, I think, in March, she found us and they had found breast cancer with her as well. So it's these two massive things. The reason I'm saying this is not to evoke anything with you, save for the fact that I, as a son, now we've got our stuff that we love each other, but we've got our stuff always as moms and sons that we need to work through. But you know what? In spite of these mountains, in spite of these things, and me and my family, we have this much capacity at the moment with a young one and lots of other stuff. In spite of all of that, I could turn to Christ, I can turn to God, and I can realize that in spite of what's going on, now firstly, God is a healer. I loved what Dumyane said the other day. God is a healer. He can do it supernaturally. He can do it this morning. As I share the testimony, God can decide, poof, I lift it off her. Boom, gone. Yet, sometimes he uses medicine. In spite of all of that, I needed to console myself and find hope. And I had a massive moment where I just realized what God just said to me, says Maina. And where I could turn to and say, scripturally, you are not a flesh. You are a spirit. And you've got eternal life, for your name is written in the book of heaven. And it's not a death sentence from my side. So you can turn around her life and give her 25 years. By all means, hear my heart. But in spite of that, what I hold on to is just the truth, the theological truth, the truth in Christ, is that she's a spirit, she's not a flesh. And her name is written in the book of life. That is my reality. That is my eternal hope for my mom. Now, it's easy, you might say, well, it's easy for you to say you're not carrying the one thing that you'd still have left. You didn't carry that. Be that as it may. But I needed to come back to the truth and the truth of Christ and knowing that this is a very small speck in time. The suffering year is very short in time, considering the everlasting hope we have in the Lord. Sometimes you might have more positive testimonies like that, but you need to just grapple the fact that we've got an eternal hope. Imagine I didn't have that. Imagine I didn't know that she was saved. Imagine I didn't know that the word says that she's actually spirit. She will return to dust in any event. And so I can rejoice in the fact that her name is written in the book of life. But in the same sense, I also pray for healing and restoration and a long, full life. Let's move on. The second thing that Calvary gave us, a hope from Calvary, is the following. A new birth hope. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, born again to a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Born again to a living hope. Are you born again to a living hope? That's massive. Born again to a living hope. We need to renew our minds with this truth. Wash yourself with the scripture. I'm born again to a living hope. I'm born again to a living hope. I'm born again to a living hope. In spite of all of this stuff, I'm born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable. Here we see heaven again, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Boom! That is redelijke goeie nuus. That's pretty good news. Jaco, I'm glad your baby's not sleeping and your baby's not sleeping here. Sorry about that. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled. Oh, I long for, my heart yearns for stuff that is undefiled. Because without Christ, my life is defiled. Without Christ, stuff gets defiled. But in him, living hope, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. And then John 3:3, also speaking of, you know, the context, you know, the story. Jesus answering Nicodemus, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to grab you like this. I want to do it with you. I will do it with you. And say, you are born again. You are born again, and you can see the kingdom of God. You've got a hope, birthed at Calvary, that you can see the kingdom of God.
Let's not get blasé about that. Let's get quiet and say, Lord, I'm born again. I've got a massive hope, eternal hope. But here on earth already, I can see the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom coming? Where is the kingdom coming? Where is the kingdom coming? Moving on. The third thing, a hope that was birthed or triggered at Calvary. Hope of a helper and the spirit of identity. Hope of a helper and the spirit of identity. John 7:39 says, but this he spoke to of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given. So he refers to, way back before, this is now obviously before the crucifixion and resurrection, and before the Lord was ascended to heaven and gave us the Spirit. But he said, those who believe will receive the Spirit. Who got up this morning and were thankful for the fact that you have the Holy Spirit? Do we have any idea where we would have been without the Holy Spirit? Just imagine this life without the Holy Spirit. There's about a couple of punches flying already, but imagine we didn't have the Spirit. I'm very thankful for the Spirit. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. So when you face stuff, remember that the Spirit as a helper and as the one that gives you identity as a son and daughter cries out, Abba, Father. By the way, Abba, Father sounds almost helpless. Beautiful. But you should see Mila, like she's just racing around in that red gevaar van her. She's got a, what do you call it? A walking ring. I know it's frowned upon in certain circles, so I do apologize. I did give natural birth. No, just joking, I didn't. I had a C-section. Anyway, but she's in that red gevaar of hers, but when she sees me, she's just like, she just wants to be with me. That Abba Father thing comes out, and it's beautiful. Shall we humble ourselves again and get to that place where the helper, the spirit of identity is in us crying, Abba, Father. Because that's the hope we have. We have backup. That's the hope we have. We're not alone. That's the hope we have. That we're not going to face trials? No, we're going to face massive trials, massive tests. But this is the thing. Like Mila, we're not on our own. Like Willem said, the revelation the Lord gave him, God the Father carried his son to the carried him. He strengthened him because he knew what was coming. John 14:15-31. Let's just let the Holy Spirit stir a hope in us today. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper and be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it is neither sees nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And so, basically, the testimony here is very simple, that we've been given the Spirit. Now, you can choose to walk by the Spirit or not. You can choose to yield to the voice of the Lord. You can choose to keep that hope that I'm not alone, that the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, is with me, that the one that says, I am your helper, is with you, is in fact with you and helping you. How often do you ask the Spirit for help? It's not a hard question. It's not a condemning question. How often do you ask the Spirit for help? I constantly ask the Spirit for help. I might sometimes miss it, obviously. But I constantly ask, just as a little son or daughter will say, Abba, Father, you need to humble yourself and ask because you've got a hope that somebody else knows better. Can I say that again? Somebody else knows better. In other words, my Father, God, knows better. His Spirit in me knows better than my flesh, than my feelings, than my anticipations, than my ideas and vision often. So I humble myself and say, Abba, Father, help Holy Spirit, because He knows better. Fourth thing, quickly, a hope that was given, the old man's gone. Do you still believe as potently and as effectively as the day you were born again that the old man is gone? Do you? I sometimes struggle. I sometimes forget. You get that revelation, you take hold of it like I'm a new creation, all things are washed away, and then life happens, And slowly but surely, the enemy wants to drag you away with lies and condemnation and stuff where you start wanting to be self-righteous and do things right on your own. Get back to the place, I am a new creation. But I don't feel like I am a new creation. But I'm not, I am a new creation. Don't always act like one. Don't always feel like one. But it stays the truth in Christ. And that is my hope. My righteousness is not in the fact that I do everything right and perfect. There's an area in my life where I did it so perfectly well for so many years. And then I missed it. It was such a shock to me. But it shouldn't have been a shock. But I could never, because I could never have done it on my own. But it came as a massive shock, and God just obviously convicted me of probably of pride there. And self-reliance and self-righteousness, getting back to the fact that I don't care if you did it right for 20 years, you can't do it on your own. Yes, but I haven't done this, that, or the other. You cannot do it on your own. Be careful. Do not think you stand lest you fall. Do not think you stand lest you fall. Jesus stand in me in all areas. Jesus stand in me in all areas. Thank you, Jesus, for standing in me in all the areas. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Calvary, boom, new creations. Turn to your neighbor, look them in the eye and say, hey, new creation. You can look to your husband by faith. Hey, new creation. Hey. Hey, new creation. Amen. Okay, just once, please turn back. Turn, leave your neighbor. Please leave your neighbor. This is enough. Your old man is gone by faith. Luke 24:2-3 says, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. We know that he was not there anymore. And likewise, I want to tell you, your old man is not there anymore. That's a spiritual reality. Is that a true reality in your emotions? Not always. But your emotions need to be a follower, not a leader. I'll say that again. Your emotions were not given to you as a leader, but as a follower. The flesh is a darn ugly leader. But it's a good follower. Flesh should be a follower. Emotions should be a follower, not a leader. So like Christ's grave is empty, your old man's grave should be empty. Moving on. Willem, if you won't mind, slowly but surely, just passing the communion for us, please, as I just finish up these things, otherwise we run out of time. 2.5, we've got a risen hope. I think we've touched on this. Let's just look at the scripture before we go on. We've sowed, even in ministry time, we've sowed the things that we need to be resurrected, but let's look at the scripture to stir our hearts and wash us clean again. And entering the tomb, they saw the young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. So he was risen. At the beginning of the year, I was just asking the Lord and just waiting for an encounter with God. And he said, this is the year of resurrection. Now again, it sounds like a brilliant word and it's lucky to hear it in that moment. But for something to be resurrected, guess what? It needs to die. And so I think I'm feeling that in my life. I don't know about you. And so, but it wasn't just a word for me. I believe it's a word for the body. It's not the only word. It is a word tested. But I believe it's a year of resurrection, but for something to be resurrected, it dies. And so whatever has died in your life that was actually meant to be good and godly, let's call the but God moment over those seeds. But God. Yes, Lord, I failed in this area. But God. Yes, Lord, but God. For him to resurrect. Second last thing, darkness to light. Calvary gave us a hope from dark to light. Who faces darkness at work? They all work for the church. No, I'm just joking. I do face darkness now and again, believe it or not. Who faced darkness at work? Who faces darkness in their neighborhood? I'm not talking about Eskom and Beerkracht, please. We're not doing that joke today. We don't have time. But we all face it. Christ came, Calvary gave us a new hope. Darkness to life. Thank you, Willem. So whatever you face, wherever you walk into darkness, guess what? There's a hope in Christ. You need to tune in and say, Holy Spirit, what needs to happen here? Because darkness needs to become light. Light be. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. One day, when you have time and Emmy has time, ask him to share his testimony of how he got saved. I wish we had time. It was not an altar call at a mass gathering. It was not an altar call in a cute little quaint church with a great speaker and nice vibe, coffee. It was in a war-stricken area with bombs flying, people dying around him, if I may say this quickly, where he had a moment where darkness turned into light. And we're still sharing that light with him today. And we're thankful for him. Ask him to tell your testimony. Light can come anywhere where you invite it in, where you humble yourselves. Sorry, Amy, I didn't ask your permission, but it seems like it's fine. Last thing, hope. Hope brings deliverance in cases of places of storm and pressure. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. I turned to the Lord, the one of a Calvary hope. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. Wherever you face a storm or pressure, because of Calvary, there is a hope. Because we are at the finished line, and on the other side of the finished line, we can have that. There's other testimonies and other scriptures, but we don't have time for them today. Let's move over. I called it the third point, as we're going to take communion, the covenant of hope. Calvary gave us a new covenant. We learned a lot about that last week, and so this new covenant was given to us by the blood of the Lamb. And as he ushered that in, it is one where no longer you have to strive and do it out of your own. You've got a new hope where you've got a helper, you've got a father, you've got identity, you belong. You know that the victory and the court order has been settled. And it is one where you are covered. One where you do not place your trust upon yourself anymore, but where your trust is shifted and say, trust can only be in him. Even if I'm super religious, and even if I've been with the Lord for 25 years, be careful to think you stand as you fall. Keep your eyes on Christ. The new covenant says you trust in one and one alone. One pays the bill and one alone. And that is Christ in his fullness. Faith in fullness. Can't add anything to it. The beauty of that dream, that realization, is that I want to do stuff with him. Not that I want to go do my own thing. I want to. Because the Spirit's law of life, Romans says, the Spirit's law of life will lead you. The Spirit's law of life is now where? Written on my heart. I want to do this stuff right. There's still a battle, but I want to do it right. And that is what the new covenant and the new hope is. I don't have to do it right. He wants to change my heart because I want to do it right. It's a beautiful hope from Calvary. Listen closely. Take this home. Because religion will be a whip, saying you have to do it right. Calvary has brought us a new covenant through the blood and sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection, taking us from I have to I want to. Not I have to be pure, I want to be pure. Not I have to love, I want to love. Not I have to have faith, I want to have faith. Not I have to love God, I have to go to church, I have to do this. No, it comes from a place of I want you. The devil, darkness, and death may swagger and boast. The pangs of life will sting for a while longer, but don't worry. The forces of evil are breathing their last. Not to worry, he is risen. You all have your elements, brothers and sisters. Kan ek asseblief die grappie maak? Is iemand by die brood of die wyn oorgeslaan? Ek is nie, maar dankie. Ek lyk het of ek twee keer nodig het vandag. Thanks brood, nie, hulle het gegee. I appreciate that, thank you. Where is also very accurate in saying, be careful not to take this in vain. So take a moment, and if there's sin in your heart or something that the Spirit convicts you, maybe just take a moment and ask for repentance. Luke 22 says, and he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. There was a reflection pointing to the crucifixion and resurrection, obviously, moments before it happened, saying that there's coming a new hope, guys. It's coming a new covenant. It's coming a new eternal hope, one that will take us all from you have to you want to, from slavery to sonship, from orphans to sons and daughters, from having no eternal hope, no hope in pressure, no hope in darkness, no hope in death, to resurrection, to light, to eternity. Lord, we thank you this morning that whatever sickness, whatever fallenness, whatever sin and bondage is in this church and in our lives and in our homes, Lord, that thank you, Christ, you came to break that. Thank you, you broke so that we don't have to break. So thank you, Lord, that this morning, as we break bread, we receive your body. And we thank you for that. Let's break bread and receive Christ spiritually, emotionally, physically for us, and if you may, standing in the gap for our families as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood flowed to establish the new covenant. We are a covenant people. God, you are faithful, even though we're faithless. You will establish what you set out to do. You will work in us to will and to do, Lord. What you started, you will complete, for you are faithful. And you're the author and the finisher. This is my hope. Calvary brought us to a place of a new covenant where he is the author and the finisher. Author and finisher. Author and finisher. We receive your blood to cleanse. Receive your blood to reestablish. We receive your blood to protect and to lead. We thank you for that, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for reminding us of hope. Thank you for reestablishing the fullness of that in the Spirit and in our spirit. Thank you for filling us, filling our cups. Thank you that your hand proceeds before us through this week. Clear the path for us and our families and everybody in this church community. Thank you for the blood of Christ over all of us as we've just partaken in. Thank you for grace. Thank you for love. Thank you for faith. And thank you for lots and lots and lots of hope. Thank you for healed eyes and healed hearts to walk in hope. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. My mop sticks. On time, must have been the Lord. Thank you, guys. Please have some coffee. Please keep hold of that hope and share it with the people out there. God bless.